In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for them." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children of Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, his winnowing fork in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with the unquenchable fire." At this time, I'd like to invite Pastor Duncan for the message, and the children are dismissed for junior church.
So imagine hearing about this guy out in the wilderness, dressed camel skin, whose diet is honey and locusts, and he's a novelty, he's a curiosity. All of Jerusalem is going out to him. And they're hearing this powerful message that he's proclaiming of repentance. There we go. And many are going into the waters of the dirty, cold Jordan. And this is certainly cold today, in keeping with the Jordan. And not so clean either. But they're following John because John is speaking with authority. And in the Jewish mind, these people have this picture of God taking Israel out of bondage in Egypt after performing these miraculous plagues to show his wonder and taking them right up to the brink of the Red Sea, this tremendous body of water. And hearing the hoof print, the hoof sounds of horses in the background and the dust of the chariots as the Egyptians are in hot pursuit. Moses lifts his staff and the waters part and they walk into the Red Sea on dry land. The walls of water are to them a security and safety. Think of that step of faith they must have made to walk into the Red Sea. And there they go, the entire nation of Israel with the Egyptians in hot pursuit. And they enter too into this body of water. And as Israel goes up and out, God tells Moses to raise his staff again, and the walls of the water come tumbling down on top of the entire army of Egypt and swallow them up. In the Jewish mind, this is a picture of what's happening here at the Jordan. They're going down under and they're coming out. For the Israelites, it's deliverance. They go through the waters and they're raised to life and go on to the promised land. For the Egyptians, it's a sign of utter judgment and destruction. And the parallels are significant. Judgment does come. In the baptism, we see the judgment of God at the cross. Those who reject him, those who are stubborn and willful and harden their hearts against him, will be judged by the cross as they reject Christ. Those who trust Him, who step out in faith and who walk with Him, come through those waters and are raised to life. And so John calls out to the people, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. I baptize you with water, but there's one who's coming after me whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie, and he will baptize you with the Spirit and with fire." John's call was one of preparation, making straight the ways of the Lord so that people could see and be prepared for the coming Messiah, who he said was among them. And then imagine Jesus stepping into those waters. The baptism of Jesus then would be something very different. It would complete this whole picture, because Jesus would baptize with the Spirit. What happens when a person is born again? They commit their lives to Christ, receive Jesus into their heart. Is that the Holy Spirit comes in at that moment of confession and begins to take up His residency inside our lives. We're baptized with the Holy Spirit. And at the cross, what takes place but the fire, the judgment of God, where our sins are laid upon Jesus, and He dies there as a sin offering for us. God heaps that sin upon Him, and then His wrath falls upon His Son, and He suffers hell, punishment, and wrath that I should have suffered, and you should have suffered. But if we, like those Israelites, put our faith and trust in Jesus, we're set free. We're declared righteous. We're given new life. It's as simple as that. What a wonderful picture in baptism of that new life that we have in Christ. So the Hebrew mind understood something of this baptism and what it meant. In the Scriptures, we see some pictures of baptism. Actually, the very first baptism is done by Philip, an evangelist, to this one who is the high official to Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, in Acts chapter 8. And he's traveling back from Jerusalem after worshiping. He's an Ethiopian, probably a convert to Judaism, but not really understanding completely what he's done. And he's reading from the book of the prophet of Isaiah in chapter 53, where it's talking about Jesus as the lamb being led to the slaughter, and he's quiet before his shearers. He does not open his mouth. He takes it and suffers for us. And Philip is prompted by the Spirit to come up alongside the Ethiopian. And he asks him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the Ethiopian says, "How can I understand if someone doesn't explain it to me?" And so he climbs up in the chariot with them, continues on, and he begins with this passage and explains to him Jesus from the prophets and how he is the Messiah to come. When they come to a body of water, some body alongside the road where people are probably gathered, he says, "Hey, there's some water. What's keeping me from being baptized right now?" He says, "Nothing. Stop the chariot." And this one who is a high official to Candace gets out of the chariot and steps into the water in front of people who are gathered. And Philip baptizes him in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. His baptism immediately followed his conversion, his faith confessed in Jesus. Philip was baptized. Now, what does baptism mean for us? If you were to ask Mackenzie and Judah, they probably give you a very clear understanding, because they have been taught, and you know, as you listen to both of them, you can understand that these kids know exactly what they're doing. They have placed their faith and trust in Jesus, and they want to take a bold step to proclaim to you a stand that they've taken for Christ. We're proud of them for that. But the Scriptures teach us in Romans chapter 6 that what happens in baptism is that we become united with Christ. We become united in His death, and we become united with Him in His resurrection. In His death, we go down into the waters. And we, like Christ, die. Spiritually, we die to sin. We become released from the hold that sin nature has on us. Christ kills it, so it no longer has dominion over us. And now we have the freedom and the power to say no to sin, to declare ourselves dead. And from that moment on in our lives, we learn what it means to be crucified with Christ. And yet to live, and yet know that it's actually Christ who is living His life out through me, giving me the power to love and to experience peace and joy, to be obedient. Christ is doing all this through me. It's not me. It's the power of Christ in us. We're united with Him in His death. We no longer have to serve sin. He says, before, you were slaves to sin. You had no choice. But now in Christ, you're alive. You have been united with Him in His death, but you've also been united with Him in His resurrection. And as Christ was raised from the dead, so they will be raised symbolically from the water, showing that they have new life in Christ. Now, it doesn't happen today. It happened the moment they confessed Christ as their Savior. But today, we're seeing that in obedience to Christ's command. They have been raised to new life. And what the Scriptures teach us is that when we accept Christ as our Savior, we're anointed by that Spirit of promise that comes in, lives in us, and that the same power that raised Christ from the dead now resides in the heart and life of every believer. That's an amazing reality. It's an untapped source of power in so many cases, but it's real. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in me and enables me to overcome my sin nature. It's still there, but now I have His power to resist temptation and to follow Christ, to flee lust and to pursue righteousness. That's the wonder of the Christian life, is that now I have power from Christ to live a life that pleases Him. It doesn't make me a better person. It just glorifies Him for what He has done and is doing in me. This morning we'll hear testimonies, brief words of explanation from these as to what they're doing and why they're doing it, what Christ means to them. Two of our elders will be doing the actual baptizing, and Mackenzie and Judah will give to us a brief explanation of what they're doing. So let's pause and pray and ask God to give them the courage and the boldness that they need as they take this step before You, because it does take some courage to come into the waters of baptism. But yet it's so very important because it fulfills Christ's command, and it tells us that they're confessing Jesus before us, His people. Lord God, we just lift up Mackenzie and Judah to You. We ask, Lord, that You would give them the freedom to share their hearts with us as to what You have done in their lives. We're asking that You would speak to them and through them, that this would be a memorial to them, a time that they can look back for years to come and to remember they have made this stand for Jesus Christ. And pray for each of us, Lord, as we witness this, that we would rally to their sides, that we would congratulate them, and that we would commit ourselves to pray for them in the days and months and years to come, and to act like brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers to these who are following you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's have our baptism people come forward.
My jams and my Hawaiian shirt. I figured I'd just go half. If you've ever been to an event and said, what do I wear? This is like the ultimate one of those events. What do you wear to this? It doesn't matter who's there. This is a great time. There's quite a balance on solemnity to what we're doing, but the other half of that is just great joy. And this is really, in one sense, what a party this is. The angels in heaven celebrate when one comes to know Jesus. And this is a proclamation of that event. And so we're so excited about this. I'm not really excited to get in the water, but... Oh, yeah.
When I was a younger boy, I had come to know Christ. I'd accepted Christ. I remember distinctly Mrs. Gert Coons, one of our founding mothers, and many of you will remember Mrs. Gert, saying to me, kind of offhandedly but very pointedly as well, it's my prayer that God won't take me till I see you kids baptized, meaning my kind of generation of kids who'd grown up in church. And it struck me at that moment the importance of baptism. I had committed my life to Christ as a young boy, and yet hadn't made that choice. Make sure all the kids can come on in and get a spot up front. But that idea of baptism was really important, that public proclamation that I'm turning my life over to Christ. And as Doug has preached, we studied in our last Sunday school class that Tim did a few months ago, maybe even a few years ago now, that the water, the sea, represented this picture to the Hebrew of death, of Hades. So this picture of going under, of identifying with Christ in baptism, going under the water. And coming to new life. For Christ, it was a death for our sins. And rising to new life, demonstrating power for us as well, over death. For us, this really represents a death to our sins, to ourselves. And rising to this new life in Christ. What an awesome, awesome time. I also want to remind you and just make you aware that both of our candidates, Judah and Mackenzie, come to this point freely in their lives. Like my parents, like many of those who have been baptized, when I was a young boy, I didn't really push it on us. It was something that I actually gained from somebody else and realized that it was important and learned it as I went along, that this was an important step for me in my faith. These two young folks here have really come to this decision on their own. While their parents have encouraged them and strengthened them and taught them and shown them the way, they come to this point in their lives of their own volition, their own realization that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, and they make this choice on their own today. And that's really exciting. First, we're going to call into the tank, please, Mackenzie Wright. Come on down. And we'll give Mackenzie a chance to tell you a little bit about her faith and why she's here today.
I decided to receive Christ as my Savior when I was 6 years old. I believe he died on the cross for my sins, rose again, and is now in heaven. I'm committing my life to following Jesus and living each day trusting him to guide my way. The verse I chose for my baptism reminds me that there is nothing I can do on my own to get to heaven. It is only through God's gift of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:8-9. Because of his kindness, you have been saved through trusting Christ. And even trusting is not of yourselves, it too is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good we have done, so none of us can take any credit for it.
You can just put this right up there. Okay. You ready? Mackenzie,
We've had a chance to talk, and I'll ask you some questions and just ask you to respond. Have you trusted in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? Do you now put your life into His hands, making a commitment now to die to yourself and to live for Him in all things? By your confession this morning and by the power of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I baptize you now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
I'm Judah, and I've been going to church since the month I was born. When I was younger, I used to hear Bible stories and never really thought about them. Now I realize that God made creation, but Adam and Eve created a problem, sin. So then God made Israel to solve the problem. Then Israel became part of the problem, so God sent Jesus out of Israel to save Israel and the rest of the world. Now I know what being a Christian is really about. It's not just believing, which I thought it was. Then the devil would also be a Christian. It's also doing God's will, which Satan doesn't do. So I've decided I'm a Christian ready to serve God, and I want to be baptized.
I'm going to ask you a few questions, baby, okay? Do you believe that Jesus is the way to eternal life, that He's the one who can forgive us our sins and bring us in front of God?
Yes.
Do you believe that He's the only way that this can happen, that He's the one who saves us?
Yes.
My number one, Judah. Because of what you've said and because of your confession, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.